From Anago High School, good afternoon. The Evergreens are on the air. Hi, I'm Chris Conley, and welcome to Playoff High School Baseball. The Evergreens take on the Anago Red Robins. What a season Anago has had. They've played 20 games, and they've won 19 of them. Their only loss to the year to Racine Horlick by 2 runs. So 2 runs short of a perfect season for these Red Robins. And because we are starting late and we are on tape delay, we're going to be ready for first pitch in just a few moments. Let's check the DC Everest starting lineup. First of all, who they will be batting against. Randy Krebs was originally announced as the starting pitcher for Anago, and now Josh Hale is going to start the game. So a surprise change at the last moment. In fact, Krebs is still in the lineup. He is playing right field. So let's get to the DC Everest batting order. Catching is Mason Hagenbusher. He will lead off. Kyle Zableski gets a surprise start in right field. He'll bat second. Mike Plaza in left field batting third. Cody Cocker, the third baseman, is in the cleanup spot. Wyatt Brown will bat fifth today. He'll play center field. Brady Burrell, who's been a hot bat down the stretch, plays first base and bats sixth. Sean Ludke, Evergreens left-hander, is the starting pitcher. He'll bat seventh. He'll bat for himself. No DH today for the Evergreens. Nathan Sleifert is at second base and batting eighth. Alex Kell is the shortstop. He'll bat ninth. Evergreens batting order, Hagenbusher, Zableski, Plaza, Cocker, Brown, Burrell, Ludke, Sleifert, and Alex Kell. What wind we have is blowing from right to left. Big ballpark here in Anago as Mason Hagenbusher is ready to step in against Josh Hale. We're ready for baseball. Second level playoff game. Anago had a first round bye. The loser today sees their season come to an end. Hale is a right-hander. Big leg kick. First pitch is up high to Mason Hagenbusher. Let's light this candle. We're underway. Evergreens got here with a 9-1 win over Rhinelander, a convincing win, and a complete game for Brady Burrell, who's out at first base today. Drops down with a sidearm delivery. That's over for a strike. It's 1-1 to Hagenbusher as we are just underway. On late tonight because of the Woodchucks game down at Lakeland. Glad you are with us. Pitch here, and Hagenbusher pops it up. Shallow, left field. Left fielder Matt Nowitzki is calling, and he makes the catch. Hagenbusher is the first out. Let's check the Anago defense. In the outfield, Max Nowinski is in left. Luke Osborne is the starting center fielder, and it is Randy Krebs in right. In the infield, left to right, Blake Bielo at third. Rob Bastille is the shortstop. Cam Noskowak is the second baseman, and Blake Kirsch is the first baseman. Battery, it is Bryce Kraminski who is catching. Josh Hale is pitching. And Kyle Zableski batting second in the Evergreens order, fouls the first pitch back for strike one. Evergreens batted out 11 hits against Rhinelander. In fact, they are a common opponent. Evergreens beating the Hodags 9-1, as we mentioned. Anago has 2 wins against Rhinelander. The Hodags are a conference opponent. Believe Zableski checked his swing there? Yes, he did. 1-1. One out and none on as we play the top of the first inning from Anago. And Anago's only lost this season to Racine Horlick 5-3, so they are 2 runs short of a perfect season. Nice pitch there from Hale. He found the outside corner, and he's ahead 1-2. Mike Plaza, leading hitter for the Evergreens, awaits on deck as we play the top of the first. 1-2 pitch coming here, tried to get him to chase outside. He did not, and it evens at 2-2. Our broadcast position today is right behind the screen at home plate. We've got a great view down at batter's level. 2-2 pitch coming. That misses wide, and the count goes full. I don't think that Hale is wild, per se. He got ahead of the count, and he's trying to get Zableski to chase. Well, now we've gone full at 3-2, and here comes the payoff pitch. That was down low, but he's swinging it. Long fly to center field, but the center fielder, Luke Osborne,'s got time to get under it and makes the catch. Kyle Zableski has flied out, on what would have been 4. Frustrating. You'd love to have a runner on base for Mike Plaza. Instead, Zableski got under that, sent it for a pretty long ride. Ball kind of hung up there. Mike Plaza was 0-3 against Rhinelander, which brings his season batting average just below 400, 392. Start him off with an off-speed pitch, and he swings right over it for strike one. Evergreens Baseball brought to you by Tolusti and Kennedy Attorneys at Law. We're here to help. Representing Evergreens fans with professionalism and integrity, call for a free consultation. 0-1 pitch, hail to Plaza. That's on the inside corner, strike two. Plaza's body of work for the season has been fabulous. Truth be known, though, in the last week or two, he's cooled off a little at the plate. Other bats have heated up to compensate. Brady Burrell's been hitting well, for instance. That pitch just missed. Nope, call strike three. Borderline and too close to take. Mike Plaza looks at a hard cutter on the inside corner. And Josh Hale has a three-up, three-down first inning. The Evergreens fail to score. Antigo coming to bat against lefty Sean Lidke when we come right back on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM
93.9. DC Evers 7 Greens, 0, Antigo, coming up. The first three batters was Rabbit, Grimm, Basto, and Kirsch.
Welcome back to Antigo. I can tell you this, there's a little bit of cat and mouse before the game from the Antigo bench. They did not want their lineup brought over to the Evergreens to have them look at it until the lineup cards were exchanged at home plate, which usually happens just a few minutes before first pitch. Now, the newspaper people and the radio people like myself usually have the lineup before that. The Antigo coaching staff wanted to make very sure the Evergreens aren't going to see our lineup. That's because right fielder Randy Krebs was thought to be the starting pitcher, and instead he is in right field. Let's check the batting order for the Antigo Red Robins. Again, 19 up in 20 appearances this season. Randy Krebs will lead off and play right field. Rob Bastille is the shortstop. He'll bat second. Blake Kirsch at first base will bat third, and Cam Noswak is going to be the second baseman. He'll bat fourth. Josh Hale, who's originally penciled in as the right fielder, will pitch and bat fifth. Blake Bielo at third base will bat sixth. Bryce Kreminski, the catcher, bats seventh. Luke Osborne, the center fielder, is eighth, and Max Nowinski in left field bats ninth. For Antigo, Krebs, Bastille, Ketch, Noswiak, Hale, Bielo, Kreminski, Osborne, and Nowinski. Randy Krebs is in against Sean Lidke, and the first pitch is over for strike one. I've asked this question. I'm not sure how much left-handed pitching Antigo sees. Again, the Great Northern Conference has a lot of schools with smaller enrollment, so Lidke, a left-hander, may be kind of a novelty here. High kick and overthrows his second pitch, a ball and a strike to Randy Krebs. Right-handed batter against left-handed pitcher. Pitch there is up high, so Lidke worked only two innings in his last start and is 0-3 on the season. And you would imagine, since this is a loser-out game, going to have a short hook if Lidke can't throw strikes. 2-1 pitch coming here. Overham with the fastball. He overthrew that one. It's three balls and a strike. Rob Bastille awaits on deck. Playing the bottom of the first inning, Evergreens went up, three down in their half of the first. Lidke threw a first pitch strike and three balls since then. And here comes his 3-1 pitch. That one's a little outside. And Sean Lidke has walked the first batter he faces. Randy Krebs gets a free pass. Not Bastille, Rob Bastille. We will trust our PA announcer, who is chattery here at Antigo. A lot of talk over the PA. We will fight through it. None out and a runner on first in this scoreless bottom of the first inning. Lidke tries again, an overhand pitch, and misses up high. That's five straight pitches out of the strike zone for Sean Lidke. Evergreens Baseball is sponsored by DeVorney Orthodontics. See more than a smile. See DeVorney Orthodontics, 715-842-5688. Or online, DeVorneyOrthodontics.com. Just missed inside there. Lidke tried to over-adjust. Kind of aimed that one down low. He was close, but missed. He's down two balls, no strikes. And this has been Lidke's problem. From time to time, he's had trouble throwing strikes. So he has yet to settle down in the early stages of this game. Throw over to first. You hear the entire Antigo crowd calls out, back. Left-handers have that extra fast move to first base. I mean, they can see the runner before they decide whether or not to throw over or deliver to the plate. Krebs has a pretty good lead at first base. Lupke is coming home. Pitch here misses up high. It's three balls and no strikes. Six in a row out of the strike zone for Sean Lupke. Lutke is a senior, and all of the seniors on this Evergreens team held graduation last night. Congratulations to all of them. It is always kind of a weird feel when your high school academic career is done. You still have some baseball games left. Lutke almost issued a four-pitch walk. That's a high strike. Three balls and one strike. Bastel took a step towards first base like he thought a free pass had been offered there. Instead, he'll have to hit again at 3-1. Krebs is getting a bigger lead at first base. Lutke is coming home, 3-1 pitch, and that one missed down low. The first two batters have both been issued walks. Lutke yet to record the first out. And you know what? There is already stirring in the Evergreens bullpen. Two batters into the ballgame. I believe that is Logan Langbin, who is already throwing in the bullpen. I mean, you can't afford to fall behind in a game like this. Here comes Blake Kirsch. Kirsch stands 6'4". He's huge. Left-handed batter. None out and two on. Lutke comes here, and he's on the outside corner for a strike. Yeah, you can see what the thinking is for the Evergreens here. If Lutke gives up a run or two and is wild and can't find the plate, the Evergreens are going to use somebody else. Can't blame them again when a loss ends your season. Kirsch thought that Lutke was taking too much time on the mound and now steps out. We don't have stats for the home team. We seldom do when we are on the road like this. You can just tell Kirsch has got to be a force at the plate. He's about as big as they come at the high school level. 0-1 pitch. Lutke drops the off-speed pitch. Curveball on the outside corner. That's a nice pitch from Sean Lutke. He's ahead. No balls, two strikes. I am not sure you would want Kirsch to be sitting on a pitch like that. He could probably hit it a long way. You've got to throw that pitch with an element of surprise. All right, now Lutke should see if he can try and get him to chase out of the strike zone here. First and second, none out. He checks that runner at second, coming home, tried something up high and nearly hit him. A ball and two strikes. And to go with two men on and none out, both by walks. That's Krebs out at second and Rob Bastel at first. And Blake Kirsch is waiting on a 1-2 pitch. Lutke takes his time and comes set. Lefty checks the runner. Here's his pitch. Fastball missed down low, and the count goes even. Two balls, two strikes. Yeah, Lutke has had trouble spotting up that fastball. And Antigo looks like they're willing to play it one base at a time. No indication that these runners are going to steal here. I would think you don't want to take the bat out of Blake Kirsch's hands. He's such an imposing figure at home plate. Two balls, two strikes, lefty to lefty, offhand line drive down the right field line, just foul. Sent a line drive to the corner, but was unable to get it straight down the right field line. Two balls, two strikes. Yeah, that's why you would prefer Blake Kirsch be batting with no one on. And the new baseball thrown out to Lutke dropped it. Went right off his glove as he was receiving that new baseball from the home plate umpire like he wasn't expecting it. Again, Logan Langbin continues to loosen up in the Everest bullpen down the first base line. Two balls, two strikes. Well, Sean Lutke has learned from that long and hard foul ball that you'll want to be careful here. Here comes his pitch. Fastball on the outside. Ooh, yes, sir. Outside corner, strike three. Delayed call from our home plate umpire, but that was a nice pitch from Sean Lutke. On the black on the outside, and that's the first out. Cam Niskoviak will have the most difficult name for yours truly to pronounce. Niskoviak is the second baseman. I believe we called him Noskowak the first time through, but now we know better. He'll bat with one out and runners on first and second. This is the Antigo cleanup batter, and they start him off. That's a breaking ball from Lutke, and he threw it for a strike on the outside corner. While we have a moment here, let's check the Evergreens defensively. In the outfield, Mike Plaza is in left. Wyatt Brown is in center field. The surprise start in right field goes to Kyle Zableski. In the infield, Cody Cocker is at third base. Alex Kell is at shortstop. Nathan Sleaford is the starting second baseman. And Brady Burrell, pitching star on Tuesday, plays first base on Thursday. Hagenbusher catches. Lutke pitches. Swing and a miss. Cam Noskoviak was right over the top of that one. No balls and two strikes. I'm going to have to take a moment on my scorecard and spell Noskoviak phonetically. Lutke trying to strand these two runners on first and second. At Antigo, you know, you'd love to get out to an early lead in these playoff games. Here's the 0-2 pitch, off-speed pitch, bounce down the third base line. Is that a fair ball? No, just foul. Just foul. Antigo would have scored a run if that stayed fair. From my vantage point, very hard to tell fair and foul because I am right at field level behind the plate. In this two-man umpiring crew, the field umpire is in the second base, position C. So it's the home plate umpire who's got to make fair and foul ball calls down both lines. Threw his hands up right away, foul ball. 0-2 to Cam Noskoviak. Lefty pitcher, righty batter. And the 0-1 pitch is coming, and here's a fly ball. This is playable in center field. Wyatt Brown settles under it, makes the catch. Lead runner at second base is tagging and is going to advance to third. So there are two outs now, but Antigo puts a runner 90 feet away from scoring on the flyout from Noskoviak. So now there are two down and runners on the corners, and pitcher Josh Hale will bat. Hale will try and help himself here. Krebs is the runner at third. Bastel is the runner at first. And Josh Hale will bat now with two outs. Mason Hagenbusher, the catcher, coming out in front of home plate to set the defense. And this is also to give the sign so that everyone is clear on how a double steal will be handled should Bastel, the runner at first, try to take second. In most of these situations, the Evergreens have decided not to throw down. First pitch, swing, and a miss. Josh Hale waved at a pitch that was on the outside corner. Lutke, after struggling for his first two batters, looks like he's had better control. Maybe a little butterflies early. And maybe he's got those butterflies flying in formation right now. Lutke comes set, his 0-1 pitch. Runner is going from first, drops the pitch over for a strike. The Evergreens do throw down, and it's cut off. So the runner from third does not advance. The runner at first steals second. So now there are two in scoring position. Runners on second and third, but more importantly, Lutke put the breaking ball over, and it's no balls, two strikes. So Sean Lutke is one pitch away from getting out of this kind of first-inning jam. And so far, he is unscathed. So this is a big batter now. See if Lutke tries and get Josh Hale to chase. Taking a long time to look in. Hale stays in the batter's box. 0-2 pitch with the leg kick coming. Swing and a miss, and Sean Lutke's out of it. Allows the first two to reach by walk. Battles back to get the next three outs. Antigo strands two in scoring position. At the end of one, we are still scoreless. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Welcome back to Antigo. I'm Chris Conley. Bottom of the second, top of the second inning is on. Evergreen send 4, 5, and 6 in their batting order to the plate. That's Cody Cocker, Wyatt Brown, and Brady Burrell ready to face Josh Hale. Hale's got to put that frustration aside. He left two runners stranded in scoring position while he was at the plate back in the bottom of the first inning. Today's D.C. Everest playoff baseball game against Antigo is brought to you by Easy Living Management, the longest-running rental management company in the area. Let Easy Living Management make managing your rental property easy. Coach Dave Langbin takes the long walk down the third base line. He'll be coaching at third base. Coach Langbin, down the stretch of this season, last 2 weeks of the regular season, the triangular, the two games in Middleton and in the playoffs, has been willing to move people up and down in his lineup. Wyatt Brown had been batting fourth, drops down to fifth. He had Mike Plaza up batting second, back down to third. Here comes Cody Cocker, the cleanup hitter, against Josh Hale, and the first pitch is outside for ball one. Our home plate umpire has kind of a delayed strike call, so sometimes you think these close pitches are going against the pitcher, and then that right hand comes up. Hale misses outside, and Cody Cocker's ahead on the count, 2 balls, no strikes. Evergreen still looking for their first base runner as we play the top of the second. Our game on tape delay today, glad you waited. Drops down for an off-speed pitch. Cocker fouls that off down the first base line, 2 balls, 1 strike. We're glad the Woodchucks game started early. Most of the Woodchucks games when they play in Wausau are at 7:05. Their game today at 6:30 down at Lakeshore. Of course, we have those situations. Come on, no rain delays. Pitches foul back, no extra innings, 2 balls, 2 strikes. Foul ball came a little close to our broadcast position. So Cody Cocker was ahead 2-0. Now it's 2-2 as he leads off the bottom of the second. Here comes Hale's pitch. Sidearm, swing and miss. He changed his direction there, and Cody Cocker goes down via deception. It was a spinning pitch that was kind of left outside, probably a little out of the strike zone, but Cody Cocker waved at it. Here comes Wyatt Brown. Brown has been heating up at the plate, 3-for-4 against Rhinelander. You say the Evergreens, boy, they need one or two more hot bats here in postseason. Wyatt Brown is one of them. And probably Brady Burrell on deck is the other. First pitch to Brown is up high. See if Josh Hale gives him another fastball here. Brown's almost a pure fastball hitter. He does and misses down low. 2 balls, no strikes. Again, Antigo probably doesn't have a lot of scouting on D.C. Everest. No way to tell for sure, but Antigo probably sent someone over to Tuesday's game. Off-speed pitch of Wyatt Brown hits that one far and deep. Left field, is the ballpark going to hold this one? It is out of here. Long moonshot for Wyatt Brown to left center, and the Evergreens have a 1-0 lead. Graduation yesterday, and he goes yard today. Did we not say just a moment ago that Wyatt Brown was starting to heat up at the plate? I recall that Wyatt Brown had a long home run to left center in last year's playoffs against Wausau West. Now he's got one against Antigo. 1-0 Evergreens. Here's Brady Burrell. 2-for-3 at the plate and a 7-inning complete game for Brady Burrell yesterday. First pitch is down low from Hale. One out and none on, and the Evergreens have the early lead as Wyatt Brown takes one out of this ballpark. The field in Antigo is a big one, too. Takes a big boy to hit one out. Took something off there and found the outside corner. It's 1 ball, 1 strike. 325 down the left field line, 370 to the power alley, and 395 to center. So this is big dimensions. Off-speed pitch, and that's a line drive into left field. Base hit for Brady Burrell. Wasn't sure if Matt Nowinski, the left fielder, was going to charge in and try and make a play on that ball. Instead, he decided to lay back, and Brady Burrell's got himself a hit. Yep, Brady Burrell has been hitting postseason. Postseason, he's 3-for-4 now. Sean Lutke to bat now. Lutke's a left-handed batter against the right-handed pitcher with one out. Do you try and have Lutke lay a bunt down and move the runner over and then take your chances? Nope, Lutke is hitting, and the pitch is down low. It's a ball. Evergreen's playoff baseball on Fox Sports, brought to you by Ministry St. Clair's Hospital, a proud sponsor of D.C. Everest Evergreen Sports, because the world needs more great teams. Get to know us better at ministryhealth.org. Lutke waits on the 1-0 pitch. Big lead for Burrell at first. And that one's over at the knees for a strike. The low strike seems to be in play today, and that's been consistent. But again, all we ask of our umpires here is a consistent strike zone both ways. Pitch right at the knees or just a hair below has been a strike for both sides. Pickoff throw over to first, bounces off the glove of Blake Kirsch, but he keeps it in front of him. 1 ball, 1 strike, and the runner retreats safely. Should the Evergreens win this game, they'd play again on Tuesday, and the sectionals are at Wausau West. Brady Burrell would likely be our starting pitcher on Tuesday. Lutke's waiting for a 1-1 pitch, took something off there and missed down low. Yeah, when Josh Hale doesn't throw his fastball, kind of he drops down to almost a sidearm delivery, that's the clue that the batters need to pick up on. Evergreen's coaches should have a discussion about that. When you see Hale drop down to that sidearm delivery, you know right away before the ball leaves his hands. Runner is going on a delayed steal. Brady Burrell is caught here in a rundown. Throw to second. Burrell's retreating to first. Brady Burrell's got him going back and forth. Couple of throws here. They missed the tag, and Brady Burrell gets in there. Anigo may have an argument about whether Brady Burrell was out of the baseline, but Brady Burrell slid under the tag and reached second base. And there's no argument from the Red Robins. Brady Burrell's going to get credit for a stolen base after being caught in a rundown. So early in this ballgame, things are not going Anigo's way. Again, this is a 19-1 team. Down 1-0, and the Evergreens now have a runner in scoring position when Brady Burrell should have been out dead to rights. Pitches inside to Lutke. It's 3-1. You got to wonder, maybe Josh Hale's a little bit rattled here. This is not the kind of start the Red Robins are used to seeing. One out and a runner on second. Lutke's waiting on a 3-1 pitch. Here it comes. Sidearm delivery again. Strike on the outside corner. Again, I can tell from my vantage point, and I'm 25, 30 feet behind the batters, when Hale drops sidearm, it's off speed all the time. Payoff pitch coming with one out. This is a big pitch for Hale. Off speed pitch, fisted over the shortstop's head, base hit. It's into left field. The Evergreens are going to try and score Burrell, and he's going to score. A one-out RBI single to Sean Lutke. Plates Brady Burrell, and the Evergreens lead 2-0. Sean Lutke delivering the RBI from the number 7 hole in the Evergreens batting order. It's 2-0. Nathan Sleaford now to bat. And not sure now why Coach Dave Langbin is come in from third base. He just had a conversation with the home plate umpire. Evergreens want a pinch runner here, that's why. Lutke, the pitcher, gets a big hand as he goes back to the dugout. And I believe that's Jordan Ellenbecker who's coming out to pinch run. That's Lucas Madsen. Madsen will pinch run. So the Evergreens, one out and a runner on first. They've got two in. And here's Nathan Sleaford. Sleaford, 8 of 46, 174 for the season. Coach Langbin put Sleaford in the lineup despite the struggles at the plate this season. Runner's got a big lead, pitches at the knees for a strike. There is that low strike that we were talking about. Evergreens two in with three hits. In fact, their last three batters have all reached. Wyatt Brown's home run and back-to-back singles, Burrell and Lutke. The run that Burrell scored kind of hurts Anigo because Burrell should have been picked off. Got caught in a rundown and was able to sneak under the tag at second base. So Brady Burrell gets credit for a stolen base. Throw over. And the courtesy runner is back. Evergreens baseball on Fox Sports brought to you by Country Fresh Meats. When it comes to the best meat, no one does it better than Country Fresh Meats, corner of Highways 29 and J in Weston. Josh Hale, surprise pitcher. 0-1 delivery, off speed. Evergreens know that one now. Single to the center field. Yep, I bet someone in the dugout did indeed tell Nathan Sleaford. You see that sidearm delivery? Off speed coming. Sleaford kept the hands back in the hitting zone. Really a nice piece of hitting there by Nathan Sleaford. Was patient on that pitch like he knew what was coming. He did know what was coming. And singles to center field. The courtesy runner stops at second base. With one out, Evergreens have runners on first and second and Alex Kell to bat. The last four Evergreens have reached, and there's still only one out. This must seem like a really long inning to Anigo. Alex Kell got off to a great start. In fact, he was hot towards the middle of the season. Alex Kell is one of the bats, along with Mike Plaza, that's cooled off a little bit. Kell's average, still a healthy 315. Sidearm delivery there, and that misses outside. It's ball one to Alex Kell. Hale has struck out two, hasn't walked anyone, but suddenly the Evergreens have him figured out. Four consecutive hits here in the top of the second with two runs in. You know, with two on and one out, the Evergreens have to come away with more runs. They can't be satisfied with just two. Sidearm delivery there, again off-speed pitch, and it's down low. 2-2. I would give Alex Kell the green light here. 2-0, two on for a pitcher that suddenly seems very hittable. You let Alex Kell rip away here. Let him pick out a good one to hit. 2-0 pitch coming. It's a fat fastball, and it's fouled off, popped up down the third base line, and out of play. That was a good one to hit. I think Alex Kell would probably like that one back. Two balls and a strike. Assuming Alex Kell does not hit into a double play, Mason Hagenbusher, leadoff batter, awaits on deck. So the Evergreens will get the top of their lineup to the plate for a second time in the ballgame here in this second inning. 2-0 if you're just joining us on Late Because of the Woodchucks. Glad you are here for Everest Playoff Baseball. The Evergreens playing the Antigo Red Robins. And here's the pitch. That's well hit on a line to right center field. It's going to get down. It's going to go to the wall. The Evergreens will score at least one. Will they try and score two? They're waving the runner around. The throw is cut off. There'll be a play at the plate sliding in. Safe. Nathan Sleaford comes all the way around for first. A 2-RBI hit for Alex Kell. Evergreens 4, Antigo nothing. Alex Kell took that one the other way. 2-RBI hit. And Coach Dave Langbin, coaching at third base, aggressive. He knew that he wanted that runner from first to try and score, and indeed he did. Alex Kell brings in two, and now the Antigo coaching staff coming out to the mound. Suddenly the decision to make Hale a surprise starter doesn't look all that good here. Yep, conference at the mound. Evergreens with five hits in this inning and four runs in. And Antigo is simply not used to playing from behind, and that's the lot the Red Robins have for themselves here. This is a long conference at the mound. You would imagine that we're going to have someone break this up soon enough. Right, Blue? Nope. Breaks up on its own. Alex Kell moved down to second base as the throw came through to the plate, even though it wasn't in time. So the Evergreens have another runner in scoring position with one out for Mason Hagenbusher. And Antigo decides they will stay with Josh Hale, even though the last five Evergreens batters have all registered hits. Home run for Wyatt Brown and 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive singles. Hagenbusher flied out to left field first time. First pitch there is on the outside corner. That's a strike. Hale has still had good control. The problem hasn't been that Hale's been wild. It's been that Hale has been too fat. A lot of these pitches have found a lot of the plate. And the Evergreens have taken full advantage. Also, it may be helping the Evergreens. You know, for the last week of the season and into the playoffs, the Evergreens have been very aggressive at the plate early in the count. Off-speed pitch here. Did Hagenbusher check his swing? He did not. Cost him a strike. 0-2. Yeah, the Evergreens have done a lot of first ball swinging and hitting. Trying to get, you know, when a pitcher's trying to get ahead and throw that first strike, the Evergreens have been right there to try and smack it around the yard. They've been doing that to Hale here, too. Hale steps off and now wants to visit with his catcher to make sure that they are on the same page on how to handle Mason Hagenbusher with an 0-2 count. Alex Kell is at second, and the Evergreens have four runs in. There's still only one out. I'm Chris Conley in Antigo. The Antigo Red Robins, with such a successful season of a big crowd, we're surrounded by friendly Antigo fans. And further down the first baseline, nice Evergreens contingent has come down here, too. They can listen to the podcast on their way home, hopefully happy with the result. 0-2 pitch coming. Off speed, Hagenbusher does not chase down low. It's a ball and two strikes. D.C. Everest Baseball is sponsored by Ministry St. Clair Hospital, a proud sponsor of Evergreen Sports, because the world needs more great teams. Get to know us better at ministryhealth.org. Evergreens advancing here with a 9-1 win over Rhinelander on Tuesday. The other team that we follow here, Wausau East, heartbreaking loss for the Lumberjacks. Pitch misses down low, two balls, two strikes. Antigo crowd wanted that pitch. Instead, the count goes even. It was close. Yeah, the Lumberjacks and the Merrill Blue Jays played a 1-1 game into the seventh inning, when the Blue Jays finally won on a sacrifice fly in the bottom of the seventh, 2-1. Probably the Lumberjacks' best game of the season. Pitches outside, and the count goes full to Mason Hagenbusher. Hale was ahead 0-2 in the count and is now in danger of losing Hagenbusher. Zableski and Plaza next two to bat. seeing if they can deliver an early knockout blow in this game. 3-2 pitch. Hagenbusher pops it up on the infield. This should be the second out. The shortstop, Rob Bastel, is back and makes the catch. Now there are two down for Kyle Zableski. Yeah, our PA announcer here does a little play-by-play. Tells you who recorded the out, where the runners are. Like if I wanted a partner, we could invite him to come on down. No problem. We are the guests here in Antigo. Two outs, Kyle Zableski at bat, trying to pick up this runner at second. The Evergreens already up 4-0 here in the top of the second inning. Zableski takes the first pitch up high. Zableski flied out to center field, just got underneath that first out. I thought Zableski was going to get better contact on that and send it on a line. Instead, he popped it up a little bit and allowed Luke Osborne to get underneath it in center. He's ahead in the count 1-0, should get one to hit here. Nope, that off-speed pitch again. Sidearm delivery, bounced in the dirt. Two balls, no strikes. Hale looks like he has the ability to throw that off-speed pitch for a strike. Again, I just don't like without that pitch that it's so obvious. When Hale comes overhand or three-quarters delivery, it's the fastball. And when he drops down sidearm, it's the off-speed curve. And batters at most levels, if they know what's coming, there it is, drop down again, and that's a low strike. Hale gets a generous call. Yeah, that low strike has been called so far. Two balls, one strike. And he did drop down, and that was his kind of slurve or curveball. 2-1. Kyle Zableski. This at-bat here is the difference between a 4 or 5-run lead. A hit to the outfield probably brings in Kell from second. Pitch there. Again, the low strike right at the knees. Batters have to make that adjustment. That pitch is going to be a strike all afternoon. 2-2 on Zableski. All right, so he knows that pitch that he thinks at the bottom of the zone. He's got to swing here and protect. Two balls, two strikes, and two outs. Runner on second. Hale comes set. Checks the runner. He's coming home. Off-speed pitch. Bounced it. Tried to get Zableski to chase, and Z did not. Three balls, two strikes. The other Z, Plaza, on deck if the inning continues. Love to get Mike Plaza on at-bat here with two men on base. Let's see what happens. Payoff pitch. Runner will be going with two outs. Pitch is wide and outside. It's ball four. Kyle Zableski has walked. Plaza struck out looking, and he went down on that drop-down off-speed pitch sidearm. See if Mike Plaza knows that that's what's coming when you see that delivery. Plaza has not hit in his last five at-bats. So Plaza is overdue. Runners at first and second. Two big ducks on the pond. Already seeing a home run in this inning from Wyatt Brown. First pitch to Plaza. Fastball is low. And Plaza is the ninth Evergreen to bat this season. If Mike reaches, the trees have batted around. Josh Hale looks over at that runner at first base. Pitch to Plaza. Off-speed pitch, and he swings over the top of it. One ball, one strike. We have not seen Josh Hale throw that off-speed pitch from his regular motion, from the two-thirds or overhand delivery. I don't think he can throw it that way. I think he drops down to throw the curve. 1-1 to Mike Plaza. Yep, drop down again, leaves it down low. Ball's bouncing in the dirt. They're trying to get the runner at third. He steals, and he's out. Boy, that's a bad out at third base. And Coach Dave Langdon just said something to Alex Kell. That ball did not get far away from the catcher, Krudmanski, for the runner to try and advance. Runner is thrown out at third, leaving two ducks on the pond for Mike Plaza. No matter, the Evergreens get four runs on five hits. Bottom of the second next, and the Evergreens have a 4-0 lead over Antigo. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
Before the Evergreens put that four runs on five hits, there were no errors, and they leave one on base at the end of an inning and a half. Evergreens four, the Red Rabbits
struggling. The Rabbits at the bottom of the second, Wheeler, Krasinski, and Osborne. Let's hit the ball. Some hitting, guys. Come on, let's hit some hitting.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
Welcome back to Antigo. I'm Chris Conley, and what I would tell you is this. There's a lot of time left in this ballgame. No one can go to sleep early tonight, even though we're on late for tape delay. Evergreens lead 4-0. Antigo is on the bat in the bottom of the second inning against Sean Lutke. It's been a long time between visits to the mound for Lutke. His team sent 9 men to the plate. Starts off Blake Bielow with an off-speed pitch for a strike. Evergreens had Logan Langbin up and throwing, and Langbin still looks like he's doing some long pitching and catching there. Austin Behrens also seems like he's throwing down there in the bullpen. So the Evergreens want options if Lutke should go wild. Overhand pitch here is fouled off. It's 1-1. 0-2. Lutke ahead in the count here. Today's Evergreens baseball game brought to you by InterCity State Bank, providing full-service banking for families and businesses. InterCity State Bank says, come bank with us. Convenient locations in Schofield, Weston, and Wausau. Batter here steps out for a moment. Blake Bielow sensed that Lutke was taking a little too long. Very pleasant afternoon. A little bit of cloud cover. Sun has disappeared behind the clouds and made what was going to be a little bit of an uncomfortable day, a little bit more manageable. Off-speed pitch, and that's popped up on the infield. Cody Cocker, the third baseman, under it and makes the catch. Blake Bielow was jammed and is out. Lefty Lutke has retired the last 4 that he's faced. Bryce Karminski to bat. He's the catcher. It was his strike throw down to third base that brought that long top of the second inning to an end. He bats with 1 out and none on. Lutke with the high leg kick overhand, fouled off down the third base line. That's strike 1. Lutke in this inning has been ahead of the batters that he faced. He issued those 2 walks back in the first where he had control problems with the first 2 men that he faced. Battled back to get the next 3 and has not allowed a runner since. Off-speed pitch there, and it's fouled off. And Lutke had Karminski fooled badly. The crowd here is chattering that, oh, throw that again, he should be able to hit it. Well, maybe. I mean, but that Lutke fastball, you would have to golf that ball to get it in play. It was dropping so quickly. Really a nice curve from Lutke. 0-2 pitch. Tries to get him to chase. Misses up high. 1-2. Yeah, when you're ahead 0-2 and you've shown you can throw the curve for strikes, that 0-2 pitch should not be over the plate. Got to keep the batter guessing here. Got to either work him up or try to get him down low. 1-2 as Lutke rocks and delivers. Here's his pitch. That was just a little wide. 2-2. Again, I don't think that was over the plate, trying to get Karminski to wave at a pitch outside that he was going to have a hard time doing anything with. 2-2. I don't know. This pitch might not be a strike either. See if Karminski bites. Lutke decides to step off as Karminski asks for time. Yeah, it was the batter that asked for time, and then Sean Lutke took his foot off the rubber. All right, batter's ready, pitcher's ready. Here comes our 2-2 pitch, and that should be strike. Ooh, just missed outside. Where was that? Close. Sure looked like a pitcher's pitch here. Instead, Lutke will have to do it again, 3-2. That's a borderline pitch. If he hits the same spot, that could easily be rung up for strike 3. Instead, a payoff pitch is coming off speed, bounced up the middle, and it's going to get through for a single. A nice piece of hitting there by Karminski. Karminski waited and sent that one right back through the originator. Didn't hit it particularly hard. It is Antigo's first hit of the ball game. 1 out and a runner on first. Luke Osborne to bat now. Going to be a pinch runner here for Karminski, the catcher. It's one of the JVs. Brian Ruiz is going to come out to pinch run. Left-handed batter Luke Osborne. Not too often in high school ball do we see these lefty versus lefty matchups. Kirsch, the number 3 hitter, is a lefty too. So Sean Lutke is going to have a couple of his fellow southpaws to deal with. Here's the pitch. Fastball is over for strike 1. Lutke is doing a much better job spotting his pitches here in the second inning than he did in the first. And he is staked to a 4-0 lead. Evergreens with a Wyatt Brown solo home run. And then 4 consecutive singles. Waiting on an 0-1 pitch here. Lutke steps off as he looks that runner back at first base. We are playing the bottom of the second. playoff baseball. The winner will travel to Wausau for a sectional semifinal game on Tuesday. 0-1 pitch, off-speed pitch, left it just a little high. It's one ball, one strike. That was close. So what Lutke has been missing with that off-speed pitch, he's been around the plate. Lutke looks like he's got the curve working pretty well here, so that's going to be a big advantage for him. Throw over to first, and the runner is back. One ball, one strike. As we are at Antigo High School, just off the campus of Antigo High School, and a count is a ball and a strike. One out and one on as Antigo tries to chip away at this 4-0 Evergreen advantage. Lutke throws over again, almost like he thinks the hit and run might be on here. Lutke again looks at Ruiz, that courtesy runner, wants to keep him close. 1-1 pitch coming, curve up high. That one didn't break. It's been a while since Lutke has left one of those off-speed pitches up high like he did there. You can get into some trouble as a pitcher if that off-speed pitch is left over the plate. Lutke left it up so high that that was not really going to be swung at. And now while the batter gets more signs down at the third base line, Luke Osborne steps out and is now back in. Again, you suspect that maybe Antigo's got the hit and run on, down 4-0. Runner is not going. Off-speed pitch is bounced in the infield to first. Brady Burrell steps on the bag. He gets the force there. Throws over to second. They would have had to make the tag there, and that's not in time. The Evergreens get one out, and that is the second out of the inning. Runner advances to second base on the bounce out. So Antigo, with two down, has a runner in scoring position for their number 9 hitter, Matt Nowinski. Nowinski is the left fielder. And Antigo, you know, maybe they're not going to get all four runs back in one shot. For the first time in the game, they have a runner in scoring position, and I get the feeling it's kind of important for the Red Robins to get one back here. So see if Sean Lutke can battle back to get Max Nowinski. First pitch there, just missed outside. Lutke just slapped that baseball into his glove like he's frustrated, like he wanted that call. Lutke's got to keep his composure here. Again, he's working with this 4-0 lead, so he has the luxury of letting the Red Robins put the ball in play. Lutke should trust his defense here. One ball, no strikes. Runner on second, overhand, swing and a miss. That's a ball and a strike. And a big cut for Matt Nowinski. Evergreens Baseball, sponsored by Marshfield Clinic. Need help with a sports injury? See the expert sports medicine physicians at Marshfield Clinic. Marshfield Clinic, don't just live, shine. One ball, one strike. Runner on second and two outs. Big spot here early in the ball game for the Antigo Red Robins. Lutke is overhand and is high and away. Two balls and a strike. Lutke becomes a slow and deliberate worker when there's a runner on base. Seems like the Evergreens pitchers are almost coached that way. That's the way they seem to be once there's a runner on. And Lutke's got the best pickoff move on the team, so you would expect him to be more deliberate. Although at least here, runners on second instead of first. Lutke behind in the count, 2-1. Off-speed pitch there is fouled back, 2-2. Antigo had runners at first and second back in the first inning. Both put there on walks with none out. Failed to move the runners over. Lutke retired. The next three he faced, two via strikeout. He's got a runner on second here with two outs. He's trying to strand another man in scoring position. 2-2 pitch with two outs and a runner on second. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Got him to chase down low. The inning comes to a close. Matt Nowinski has struck out. Three strikeouts for Sean Lutke. Runner left at second. End of 2, D.C. Everest 4, Antigo nothing. Back in a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
Josh took the year off last week.
Oh, so did
The Red Robins stay with Josh Hale to start the top of the third inning. Again, Hale allowed five consecutive batters to reach and then gave up a walk before the Evergreens really helped him out of the inning with Alex Kell thrown out at third on a ball that didn't quite get far enough away from catcher Bryce Kreminski. The Evergreens send 3, 4, and 5 to the plate here in the third inning. Again, you hate to see the bat taken out of Mike Plaza's hands like it was in the second. So he will bat to lead off the third. I'm Chris Conley, and we're glad you are with us for today's playoff game between Antigo and the Evergreens. So far, the Evergreens doing just fine against this 19-1 team, thank you. Plaza takes the first pitch and fouls it off to the screen, strike one. Evergreens fans traveling about 45 minutes to get here to Antigo. This would be a very happy ride home. Plaza waits the 0-1 pitch from Hale. That drops down low. It's one ball, one strike. Today's Evergreens broadcast is brought to you by Valley Communities Credit Union. Their mission is to build lifelong relationships, one member at a time. Valley Communities Credit Union, providing sound financial services and products. Find their newest location in Cronenwetter and valleycommunities.org. Pitch to Plaza just missed. No, late call. Again, our home plate umpire is sometimes very deliberate on his strikes. And that was a low pitch at the knees. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Plaza's got to adjust here. Tried to get him off speed, and Plaza looks at strike three. That is twice that Mike Plaza has gone down looking in the ballgame. Plaza knew it, clenched his fist, and dropped his bat down as he knew that one was in there for a third strike. So Mike Plaza, he'll really, for the first time all season, Plaza looks a little uncertain at the plate. Cody Cocker to bat now, left-handed batter against Josh Hale. Cocker struck out to lead off the second inning. It's the batters behind him that did all the damage. Cocker, first ball, hitting, drops it in, base hit. Left fielder had to hurry over to keep that from going into the gap. It's a long single for Cody Cocker. And again, the Evergreens having success, being aggressive early in the count. Cody Cocker took the first pitch that he saw and sent it on a line. And you know what? The Evergreens' hits have all been line drives against Josh Hale. Evergreens have hit him hard. Here's Wyatt Brown. With one on and one out, this is going to be it for Josh Hale. The Antigo coach is on his way out, and he's already motioned to right field. Randy Krebs, the right fielder, who was originally penciled in as the starting pitcher, then wasn't, is now going to wind up pitching anyway. It'll be Krebs in relief of Hale. With one out and a runner on first, the Evergreens leading 4-0. We're going to take a 30-second timeout during this pitching change. Back in half a minute on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
Defensive change for Antigo coming into pitch. Number 16, Randy Krebs. Josh Hale will then go out to play right field.
Welcome back to Antigo, where Randy Krebs, the right-hander, is completing his warm-up tosses. You know, maybe Antigo is a little too cute for themselves. Randy Krebs is thought of as their best pitcher. And they were thinking maybe they could save him and get past the Evergreens without using their number one. Well, they're down 4-0. Their number one is indeed going to get used after their number two pitcher was ineffective. Josh Hale works 2 1/3 innings. He's allowed 6 hits. He is charged with four runs, and all of them are earned, and he's responsible for that runner at first. So Josh Hale could only be the losing pitcher. First pitch is not to home plate. Randy Krebs throws over to first and chases Cody Cocker back. Wyatt Brown is the batter, and Brown hit a home run. Long, high, majestic home run to left center field, his first time up. Krebs' first pitch, overhand, his first ball chopped to third. Third baseman loses his footing and will not be able to make a throw. Speed of Wyatt Brown. Blake Bielo, now they've got the runner picked off between second and third, and he is out going to third base. So that's a base-running mistake there for Cody Cocker. Cocker tried to take an extra base on the throw over to first base. That was ill-advised. Evergreens have made two outs at third base. So what the heck's going on here? Wyatt Brown gets an infield single on the chop to Blake Bielo. Bielo lost his footing as he moved in on the grass to try and play that ball. And then Cody Cocker, who should have been at second base, advanced over to third and was thrown out. Base-running mistakes. Again, you just hope that the Evergreens don't need these runs later in the ballgame. There are two outs, and now a runner on. I mean, it could have been one out and runners on first and second. Here's Brady Burrell. Burrell singled and scored back in the four-run second inning. Randy Krebs is a much harder thrower. He overthrew that fastball. That's a very live fastball from Randy Krebs. I mean, you could imagine that Krebs is the kind of pitcher when he throws. If he's able to throw strikes, I mean, maybe you're only getting one or two runs off of him. Evergreens already have four in. Come set, Krebs looks like he'd be home on the Stevens Point staff. Overhand and a high strike called there. Well, now, come on, Blue, the low strike has been what's been called today. Krebs got a call there up around the letters. One ball, one strike. You know what? Our umpires are not used to seeing this kind of velocity either at the high school level. Fair enough. It's one ball, one strike to Brady Burrell. Speed on at first, that's Wyatt Brown. I would not be surprised if they try and have Wyatt Brown steal second here. Get him in scoring position so he could score on a Burrell single. Let's see if that's what they're going to do here. It's 1-1. Krebs, big overhand fastball. Left that one up high. Two balls, one strike. You know what? That fastball was in the same pitch, same place as strike one. So we're a little inconsistent at the top of the strike zone. Two balls and one strike. Brady Burrell is looking down at Coach Dave Langbin in the third base coaching box, and so is Wyatt Brown. Good count to hit and run on. Good count to try and steal on. You can't pitch out when you're behind 2-1. Wyatt Brown is not going. Overhand pitch is on the inside corner. You know what? The strike zone has just gotten a lot bigger with Randy Krebs there. It's two balls, two strikes. Again, that's my working theory here. Umpires are not used to seeing this high 80s, maybe low 90s fastball, and that's what Krebs is throwing. 2-2. So the Evergreens have to adjust to that. Off-speed pitch, Brady Burrell smacks it to short. It's off the shortstop's leg. Everybody's safe. An error keeps the inning going. Should have been the third out. Was hit right at Rob Bastel. Instead, he took his eye off and it had rolled up the heel of his glove. It's the first error of the ball game. Wyatt Brown reaches safely to second. Brady Burrell is on at first, and the inning continues.
For two outs, runners at first and second, now batting.
Sean Lutke is scheduled to bat here. And Lutke is going to take his turn. Lefty batter. Lutke singled and drove in a run back in the second inning. 4-0. Pitch there. That's a pitcher's pitch on the outside corner with a fastball, and Randy Krebs is ahead, strike one. They play the third baseman back even with the bag. Lutke could drop down a bunt and he would reach. He would load the bases. I think the theory here is, though, more hit the ball, try and drive the run in. Off-speed pitch is up high, one ball, one strike. I don't know why Krebs is going to anything but his fastball here. Krebs has been able to throw that fastball for strikes since he's come on in relief. It's Krebs taking over for Josh Hale. Hale got the first out and then allowed a single and was lifted when Wyatt Brown came up, because Brown's already hit a home run in the game. 1-1 pitch, fastball there, and it's a fly ball to left center field. Center fielder's got time to get under it. Luke Osborne makes the catch. And the Evergreens again commit an out on the bases and leave two men aboard. They do not score. At the end of 2.5, the Evergreens still have a 4-0 lead. Anago coming to bat in the bottom of the third when we come right back on Fox Sports Radio. AM 1390, FM 93.9. We are coming now to the bottom of the third inning, and the Evergreens have a surprise pitching change. Sean Ludke is out. Austin Behrens is coming in to pitch. And Sean Ludke is staying in the ballgame. He's moving into right field. Not sure about this call because Sean Ludke, well, granted, he'd have to go through the Anago batting order a second time now. 1, 2, and 3 are due up for the Red Robins. But Ludke allowed only one hit. Struck out 3 and walked 2. Sean Ludke, the left-hander, was effective. And yet he is being lifted here for Austin Behrens. So the Evergreens may have made the decision early in this ballgame that is going to be pitching by committee. I mean, we could still see Alex Kell and Nathan Sleaford before this game is over. The Evergreens have all of their pitchers available except for Brady Burrell, thanks to Brady working that complete game on Tuesday against Rhinelander. Austin Behrens becomes the new pitcher. Behrens seems to be the best of the JV pitchers who have split time between the JV and varsity. Behrens is a right-hander. And Randy Krebs to lead things off. And Krebs started the game in right field and has since moved to the pitcher's mound. He got a walk his first time up. So the Evergreens keep the starting pitcher Ludke in the lineup. Ludke now in right field. And it is Kyle Zableski who has now come out of the game. In fact, I would not be at all surprised if Zableski winds up pitching too. Zableski may be the next pitcher. Little delay here as first baseman Brady Burrell wants a new glove. Tossed his glove over to the dugout. One of his teammates threw out another one. As we go to the bottom of the third inning here, the Evergreens own the hit column 7-1. Again, Anago is probably not used to being in this situation. First pitch from Austin Behrens, off-speed pitch, drops in for a strike. Krebs stepped out by one step of the batter's box like he disagreed with that call. He's getting a look at Ludke's, at Austin Behrens' stuff. Behrens with a fastball, misses away, 1-1. Behrens is a tall, skinny kid. Behrens does not have the velocity that Ludke does. But again, now you had a lefty earlier. Now it's a righty. That pitch bounces down low. 2-1. And again, you've got to think, if the Evergreens send a pitcher out there who can't throw strikes, who's wild, gives up some cheap runs, it's going to be a quick hook here. If the Evergreens have this 4-1 lead, 4-0 lead, rather, 4-0. And you don't want to see your opponents kind of nibble away at you here. 2-1 pitch, off-speed pitch, and that is over for a strike. That pitch just looked like it was in slow motion and dropped down just above the numbers. It's 2-2. So Ludke, who doesn't have a lot of velocity, but Krebs has got to be guessing here. He doesn't know what's coming at 2-2. Ludke should try and see him get him to chase. Nope, leave the fastball up high. 3-2. It's Austin Behrens. Sorry, it was Ludke that started. Thought Ludke did such a nice job, he'd almost like to see him work a third inning, but that's just not the strategy today. Austin Behrens is getting ready for his 3-2 pitch to Randy Krebs. Here it comes. Hope he doesn't let him get away here. Overhand fastball, that was 4. Instead, he fouled it back. Would have been a good one to take. Yeah, that one didn't look like it was going to be particularly close.
Not a way to be a hitter.
All right.
Not a way to be a hitter.
Rob Bastil awaits on deck. Again, both Krebs and Bastil were issued walks the first two batters of the ball game, but they did not come around. Anigo has not been able to move those runners over. Barron's ready for another 3-2 pitch. Takes a long time to get ready. Here it comes. Fastball there. Bounce to third. And diving out of the out of his reach, it's Cody Cocker who can't come up with the ball. Goes down the left field line. They're going to call that foul? Oh, my. That ball sure looked fair to me.
Oh, my God.
I had that as an extra base hit to the corner. All the fans behind me had that as an extra base hit, too. Instead, it's called a foul ball. And the Anigo coach is right there in the third base box. He both put both of his heads up on his both of his hands up on his head like he couldn't believe it. All right, Krebs was robbed. 3-2 pitch, chops that one foul. Still 3-2. Yeah, all of the Anigo fans disagree with that call. The home plate umpire is a committee of one. Three balls and two strikes. This is going to be the seventh pitch that Randy Krebs has seen, and here it comes, walked him up high. So Randy Krebs reaches regardless. And for the second time in three innings, Anigo has the leadoff runner aboard. Still has no runs to show for it. Rob Bastil to bat here. And it looks like Anigo is going to use a pinch runner here. Yeah, we're going to have a pinch runner. And the Evergreens are going to send catcher Mason Hagenbusher out to talk to Austin Behrens. Cassius Muscoviac is going to come out and be the pinch runner. So Krebs, the pitcher, will not have to stand out on the bases. Evergreen still have that conference at the mound as Mason Hagenbusher talks with Austin Behrens. Sean Ludke, the starting pitcher, here is his final line. Worked two innings, allowed just one hit. No runs, no earned runs. Ludke with three strikeouts and two walks before giving way to Austin Behrens in the top of the third inning. So Ludke only had to go through the lineup once, and the Evergreens throw a different arm second time through this Red Robins lineup. First pitch to Bastil is down low. That's a ball. Like to see Austin Behrens throw strikes here. Clouded over a little bit in Anigo. I don't think we have much of a threat of rain. I hope not. We're not undercover here. And Austin Behrens takes a while to check that runner at first. Now steps off and the runner retreats. And Behrens will go through his whole sequence again. Yeah, the game gets kind of slow when you got that runner on base. Pitchers now are just taught to be deliberate. You see that too at the major and minor league and college levels. Here's the 1-0 pitch. That one down low. No, that's a strike. Yep, that low strike called both ways. I thought that was too low for a ball. Home plate umpire disagrees. One ball, one strike to Rob Bastil. One of these teams will see their season come to an end today. Anigo, which has only lost once. Wow, it would be a heartbreaker for Anigo if they don't turn this around. Off-speed pitch, ground ball to second. Could be a double play. Sleaford to Alex Kell at second. Drops the ball. Yes, they're going to say he records the out at second. And drop the ball while reaching into his glove to try and get it over to first. So Bastil reaches on a fielder's choice, and the first out is made at second.
Let's go!
So it is a force out, and Blake Kirsch comes to bat. We've talked about Kirsch and what an imposing specimen he is at the plate. 6'4". We don't see the Anigo football team now that they're in the Great Northern Conference. I would bet you anything that Kirsch plays something for football. Linebacker, offensive lineman. Behrens starts him out with a fastball and hits the inside corner. There's a strike. Yeah, it was important that the Evergreens make that play at second base. You want Kirsch batting with as few runners on base as possible. Runner on first and one out as we play the bottom of the third inning. The Evergreens are ahead 4-0. Behrens off speed pitch. That's over for strike two. Behrens threw that twisting curveball that breaks away from the left-handed batter Kirsch. And Behrens is ahead 0-2. Kirsch should absolutely, positively not get a pitch to hit here. And probably not on the next pitch either. 0-2 up high. He did get a pitch to hit and fouls it off down the first base line. Brady Burrell may have a play over there. Burrell gives way, and it's caught by the second baseman, Nathan Sleaford, in foul territory. Nathan Sleaford ran a long, long way and made that catch in foul territory. That's a big out. Two down, and they got Blake Kirsch to swing at a bad pitch, and he fouls out down the first base line. Still a runner at first, and now there are two down. Cam Niskoviak now to bat. Niskoviak flied out to center field his first time up. Now there are two down with a runner on. Austin Behrens, overhand pitch that's fouled off behind us to the screen for strike one. So, you know, if the Evergreens are going to throw shutout ball, maybe they will. That means you'd only have to go through the heart of the Antigo order three times. This would be the second pass through. You've already gotten their number three hitter to foul out. Niskoviak is the number four hitter. Again, you've got him coming up with two outs and one on. So with this four-run lead, he's going to do so much damage. Runners going, hit and run. Popped up on the infield. This should end the inning. Austin Behrens, the pitcher in foul territory, makes the catch. And the Evergreens are out of it. Three complete, and D.C. Everest's 4-0 lead is still intact. Back after these messages on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9. Could not be higher for both of these teams. One loss and you're out in playoff baseball. And the Evergreens go to the top of the fourth inning with a 4-0 lead over the Antigo Red Robins. The Evergreens getting all four of their runs in the second inning. Solo home run from Wyatt Brown. RBI single from Sean Lutke. And starting pitcher, Nathan Sleaford, starting second baseman, who made a nice play in the field last inning. Two RBI single to account for the Evergreens' four runs. Randy Krebs about to start his second inning of work to face Nathan Sleaford. Here's his first pitch. Fastball is in there for strike one. Sleaford's hit is the big knock. Turned a 2-0 ball game into a 4-0 ball game. He's one for one. And Nathan Sleaford is one of those Evergreens bats heating up down the stretch. Behind 0-1, off-speed pitch lays off, and it's one ball and one strike. Evergreens baseball sponsored by Cloverbelt Credit Union. Voted the best credit union in the Wausau Daily Herald Reader's Choice Awards, where your bank does make a difference. Explore the benefits at ccuwausau.com. Krebs from the full windup, 1-1 pitch. Paints the black on the outside corner, a ball, two strikes. Yet Krebs throws much harder than Josh Hale. And if Antigo loses this game, they're going to kick themselves, giving up four runs with their best pitcher out in right field instead of on the mound. 1-2 pitch coming off speed pitch, and that's chopped foul right in front of our broadcast location. One ball, two strikes. Evergreens put runners on first and second in the third inning, but did not score. Evergreens have made two outs on the bases. Alex Kell was thrown out at third base. Cody Cocker was caught in a rundown between second and third and was caught there. That pitch just missed. Two balls, two strikes. Sleaford is kind of lucky. He could have been rung up on that pitch, which I thought had a lot of the outside corner. Home plate umpire disagreed. Two balls, two strikes. See if Sleaford can shorten up and make some contact here with the big yellow bat. Overhand fastball, left it outside. 3-2. Nope, strike three on the outside corner. There's that delayed strike. I got to wait for it. Nathan Sleaford goes down. It is Krebs' first strikeout. By the way, we can close the line now on Josh Hale, who was the starting pitcher. He worked 2 1/3 innings. He was lifted after giving up a single to Cody Cocker with run out in the second. Hale allowed 6 hits, 4 runs. They were all earned. Hale struck out 3 and walked 1. Here's Alex Kell, who singled. 1-for-1 first time up. His first look at Krebs pitches high and away for a ball. Evergreens Baseball is sponsored by Brainerd Funeral Home, helping people celebrate lives past with personalized funeral services. Brainerd Funeral Home, supporting D.C. Everest Sports. Krebs pitches up high there. It's the first time we've seen Krebs behind in the count. It's 2-0 to Alex Kell. Top of the order, waiting up for batting here in the top of the fourth inning. 4-0 Evergreens. Evergreens pitching by committee. See if Austin Behrens gets another inning when the Evergreens come back out on the field. Krebs overthrowing again. He's behind in the count, 3-0. Krebs got Sleafert to strike out for the first out in the inning. And now is behind Kell, 3-0. I would think Kell is going to take here. He does. Takes inside. That's an inside strike. I thought that pitch missed inside. No matter. 3-1. Do you have Alex Kell tank again to try and get a base runner? Let's see what happens. Overhand, he's hitting it, and it's a ground ball off the mound to second. Tough play for the second baseman moving to his right. Deskobiak makes the play and gets it over to first. That ball bounced off the hump on the pitcher's mound and kind of changed directions as it was going out to Deskobiak at second base. He did a good job staying with it, and that's the second out. Here's Mason Hagenbutcher. So this is a left-handed batter against right-handed throwing Krebs. Hagenbutcher 0-for-2. Flied out to left, flied out to the shortstop, and Hagenbutcher takes strike one. Has indeed become kind of an overcast day. Storm clouds gathering around this Red Robin season, trailing 4-0. 0-1 pitch, off-speed pitch practically got away from him. 1-1. Yeah, Krebs, his release point was all messed up on that offering. Reaches down and grabs some dirt. And that must be what it was. Rub some dirt on that pitch. 1-1. Pitch to Hagenbutcher, overhand fastball. Pounds inside but misses. Home plate umpire just indicated that it was inside because Krebs thought that he had that for a strike. Krebs gave the long look. 2-1. Pitch there, overhand, popped up in foul territory, maybe a play here. Catcher comes back and takes a look and makes the catch right in front of him. Mason Hagenbutcher fouls out. A 3-up, 3-down inning for Randy Krebs. End of 3.5. D.C. Everest 4, Antigo nothing on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.
I'm a gold glover, no worries.
There were no errors as they left nobody on base at the end of 3.5. 4-0, Everest. 2-0 for the Robins in the bottom of the fifth. Hale, Hilo, and Kudelski.
Welcome back to Antigo. The Evergreens send Austin Behrens out for a second inning of work. He'll face 5, 6, and 7 in the Antigo batting order. Josh Hale, the starting pitcher, who's now camped out in right field, is ready to lead things off. Hale was struck out by Sean Lutke his first time around.
Leading off the Red Rabbits bat, number 25, Josh Hale.
Hale's a right-handed batter. Again, Hale trying to dig himself out of a little bit of a hole here. All 4 runs are charged to him. Here's the first pitch from Austin Behrens. Behrens starts him out with an off-speed pitch. That's strike one. Drops it right in there. Behrens again comes set. He gets his sign from catcher Hagenbutcher. Here it comes. Fastball here, grounded to third. Cody Cocker's got it clean. Throws across the diamond. Got him. First out, bottom of the fourth inning. Cody Cocker's defense, which I think he would tell you, fair enough, that it was a little shaky earlier in the season. Cody Cocker's defense has come around nicely since then. Cocker had three assists in the Rhinelander game on Tuesday and was sure-handed there. Blake Bielow, the third baseman, to bat. Bielow made a nice play there. His first ball swinging pops this up in foul territory. Cody Cocker's got a play in foul grounds, and he's under it and makes the catch. First ball hitting, and Bielow fouls out. Three of the last four Antigo batters have fouled out. And Cody Cocker did a good job getting under that. That was not an easy play. Two outs and none on. Bryce Kerminski, the catcher. He made a nice catch in foul territory to bring the Evergreens' fourth inning to an end. Austin Barron steps off the mound, wants Mason Hagenbusher to go through the signs again. Two outs, none on, bottom of the fourth. 4-0 Evergreens. Barron's leg kick, overhand fastball, it's up high. Today's game, Antigo and Everest, brought to you by Baseman's Shoe and Clothing. For more than 80 years, Baseman's been supplying central Wisconsin with nose-to-toes protection. Wool shirts, wool bibs, wool socks. All of your hunting needs at Baseman's Shoe and Clothing, Wausau's west side. 1-0 pitch is an overhand strike, ball and one strike. Again, Barron's, that's not a big league fastball that Austin Barron's throws, but he's been able to throw it for strikes today, and he's been able to complement it by throwing his curveball for strikes. So Barron's has been effective at changing speeds, and that's how he's made his living in this game. Overhand here, popped up down the left field line. Long run, foul territory. Is there a play there for Mike Plaza? No. Plaza almost ran into that chain link fence at full speed. Instead, it's just a long strike down the line. One ball and two strikes. Kerminski batting with two outs and none on here in the bottom of the fourth. And Antigo's got to realize that the middle innings are going by quickly, and very soon we're going to be in the late part of this ballgame. Antigo has only one hit. It was delivered by Kerminski right back up the middle against Austin Barron's. Against Sean Ludke. Barron's has retired four of the first five batters he's faced. Fastball there, fouled off down the first base line. Still staying at a ball and two strikes. Came a little close to the Fox Sports Radio vehicle. Hey, Mr. Kerminski, that's why we have insurance. Ready for another 1-2 pitch as Austin Barron steps off the mound for a moment. Now he's back on the rubber. 1-2 pitch coming, it's on its way. Curveball, strike three called! Austin Barron's faces the minimum in the fourth. Kerminski looks at the breaking ball over the outside corner. Four innings complete, Evergreens 4, Antigo nothing. Back after these messages on Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390, FM 93.9.